I've entitled the message today, it's Father's Day, so I've entitled it, Becoming the Man Your Father Was or Wasn't. So I want to wish everybody happy Father's Day. I'm a sinful person, amen? Amen. That means I was an imperfect, imperfect parent, but I don't feel too bad about this because I am preaching to a room full of sinful people as well, amen? Man, that was even as loud as my, okay. And yet I think that most of us have one thing in common. We want our children to grow up and love God and serve God and marry the right kind of spouse and be the right kind of parent. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train up a child and the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from. But that's our goal. That's a big reason why we're here. I love, one of my favorite parts of this, I know it's ridiculous, one of my favorite parts of the service is when they dismiss the kids. I just love to see all these excited children. They're excited to be at church. Whew. I love that. And so, by the way, is the Facebook working today? Are we, is the online thing, are we working today? Is that working? Or we still got a glitch? Working? Yes, good. Parents, if you're at home and you're watching online, that means your kids aren't in church. Just what it means. Now, by the way, we have this service, so if you've never, if you want to know what the church is all about, you watch. That's what I did. That's how I found this church. I watched it online. So if you're watching online, you're trying to figure out whether you should attend this church or another church, you should attend this church. If you're ill, I'm so glad you can join us online. If you're far away on vacation, I'm so glad you could still catch us even though you're not here this weekend. But if you're just lazy, we miss you. And I hope next week you'll be here. I think that most of us truly want to train our children in the way they should go. We want them to live the fullest life that God intended them to live. We want them to make maximum impact for the kingdom of God. And yet, whenever I give a message like this, I am very aware, because some of you right now have children that are not living like that, and maybe they're grown, and maybe your heart is broken. Others, like you, may have, maybe your heart is broken because, like me, your dad is no longer on this earth, and you miss him today. Others, maybe your dad is living, but not such a good relationship, and Father's Day doesn't bring up really good memories for you. I get it. But hopefully this message will cover all the bases today. That's what it was intended to do. So today is Father's Day. I want to direct my message to dads, future dads. Now, wives, don't go home and preach it to your husband. That's annoying. Don't you remember what Joe said? Don't do that. The Holy Spirit is good enough. I always look back. By the way, my wife and I were talking about this week. I'm not a real sentimental guy. And I see people, they're giving a speech, and then they start crying. And it's like, it's just uncomfortable for me to watch. And so I will rarely do that unless I talk about my dad. So if that happens today, in advance, I know I've made you uncomfortable no matter what you say. Or, oh, it's okay. It's bad. So we're going to try not to do that. But it is Father's Day. And I think, I look back at my dad, I know how he raised me. He was a godly man. He took me to church. He lived a consistent Christian life. He always talked about Jesus. I never said I wanted to grow up and be like my mom. Now, my mom was a great woman, too. She's also with the Lord, loved the Lord, raised us, sacrificed for us. She was the mom. I mean, she was mom. I love her. But dad was the dude I wanted to grow up and be like. That's just children, boys, girls, they need their fathers. So I'm a guy. My dad was my role model. Karen Vaughn was a, sadly, Gold Star mother of a Navy SEAL by the name of Aaron Vaughn. Aaron was on a mission in Afghanistan, 2011. And he was in a helicopter with 30 other Navy SEALs with him. And tragically, that helicopter was shot down, and it was the largest accident ever recorded up until that time in the history of Navy SEALs Special Forces. He died, as well as everybody on the helicopter. And Karen Vaughn tells the story of her son's life and her son's death in the book called World Changer. And before I bought the book and read it, it is actually a really good book, I listened to an interview. And she was asked the question, what did you and your husband do as parents to raise such an extraordinary young man? And she answered with a really amusing story. And she told the story about they lived on a ranch and they had cattle, and there was one cow that was like vicious. She described her as a living, breathing bovine dictator. All her children were terrified of the cow. The cow would charge. Aaron was 10. He was afraid of the cow too, all 80 pounds of him. So one day they were bringing all the cattle. His dad was there, and he saw that his son was afraid. He said, stand by the door of where you let, you know, the gate where they let the cattle in. If he charges you, punch him in the face. And you can just imagine him, right? He's coming there, scared. Sure enough, the cow comes right at him. He punches him in the face. And interesting, in the interview, you don't really know what happened. She was selling a book. I found out what happened because I read the book. I'm probably one of those people that got suckered into writing the book. It's actually a good book. And the son wasn't hurt at all. The cow was a little stunned, and the cow never messed with Aaron Vaughn again. See, the point is, now, what does a mom do? Oh, you understand, the cow's coming, don't get hurt. That is a natural reaction of a mom. That's a normal reaction, maybe of most people. But a dad is going to say, stand up to a bully. Learn how to do it. You need a mom, but you need a dad. Kids need their dads. My daughter, she said, please use me in illustrations today as much as possible. She did not say that. But she had an incident when she was in junior high. She had just gone to a new school, and there was kind of a bully child there that she would go to her locker. Her locker was under. She wouldn't let her in. She was just like keeping her out. And I believe my wife said, well, you know, talk to someone. Talk to the teacher or the principal or whatever. That shouldn't happen. Of course, that was not what I told her. I said, push her out of the way. Now, by the way, if you disagree with my theology, we're still friends. That's okay. But I'm trying to teach my child to stand up to a bully. Do you know what I'm saying? And she pushed her out of the way. Not even that hard, but somehow she stumbled, fell. And to my knowledge, she never messed with her again either. You need a dad. Homes need a dad. I don't care what society says. I don't care what, you know, Heather has two mommies. All of that, forget the morality of that. There's no dad in the home. They need a mom, too, by the way, but it's Father's Day, so we're sticking on that. Everyone has a different perspective on Father's Day. Again, some of us had wonderful fathers. Some of you might, quite honestly, might not have had a good father at all, maybe not even a good human being. And some had fathers that are both. Let's be fair, all of us are both. Nobody's perfect. But there are those who try to be consistent, godly presence in their family's life, and that's what we should all aspire to. So wherever you spit on the, fit, you're not spitting, wherever you fit on the spectrum, no one spit here, please. It's not that kind of church. Wherever you fit on the spectrum, I hope this message will be uplifting, positive, and help us think. So there's three kinds of parents, I said. Some will say, if you're keeping notes, by the way, point number one, my father was a good man. He loved God and served him. He loved his family and led well. I put myself in that category. My dad was a good man, a great man in many ways. So understand if that is your testimony, that your father led you well, that he served the Lord well, that he was the right example, that he was consistent in the way he raised his kids and treated his wife. If that's your dad, realize that that puts a great responsibility on you. The second part of Luke chapter 12, verse 18 says this: everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand more. So if God has given you that in your home, if you were raised in that blessed situation like I was, understand that's a lot of, there's a lot of expectations riding on that because you had a head start. If you've been to our home, one of the first things you will notice will be a family picture of not just me and my wife, not just me and my parents and my siblings, but me, my wife, my little daughter when she was a little girl, and about 150 other Fletchers at a Fletcher family reunion. You think one Fletcher is bad? You have no idea. And in that photo, there were five uncles, including my dad. All six men loved God and served him. They loved their wives and their children. Two were successful, very successful businessmen. Four were ministry people, all of them great men. Love the Lord. Many times I look at that photo and it inspires me to be like them. And if I ever decide to mess up my life and you think, well, you're old now, it's too late. No, you can mess up your life at any age. I've seen it. If that happens, I know that I have no one to blame. I have no excuse. I had all the advantages in the world and I decided to turn my back on it. So if you were raised well by a mom and a dad who loved you and loved the Lord and taught you well, and you mess up, you are doubly responsible. And the challenge is then to be like them. Do what they do. I remember when I was very young, I just started ministry. I was serving in Manhattan at a church. I was working with kids, and a guy was doing karate. He was breaking boards. You ever seen them break boards with karate? And I'm like, man, that is so cool. I wish I could do that. He said, well, you can do that. I'm like, pretty sure I can't do that. He says, no, you can do that. And so he broke a board. He said, just do what I do. So I'm like, yeah. He said, now the important thing is strike in the middle, not with your fist, but with your, you know, that part of your, the heel of your hand, I guess you call it. Strike it hard. The last thing you want to do is like chicken out right at the last. He said, then you're going to hurt your hand. He said, but just, he said, like this. He broke it so easily. I'm like, okay. Bring the board. Brought the board. Yeah! And I broke it. I'm like, you know, where's my black belt, you know? It wasn't rocket science. I just did what the expert did. That's it. I just did what he said. I followed his lead. So if you were raised in that kind of home, just follow that. You had a good example. Follow the good example. My dad, every Sunday afternoon, we either went out to eat or he prepared something at home. And I remember that clearly because my dad was a good man. Number two, the kids always had to clean up. He always wanted to give my mom a day off. And it's interesting, I remember that. I should think about doing that one day. My dad never tolerated disrespect or rebellion from his children. He loved us, but he punished consistently. We try to model that. My dad kept his word. My dad memorized scripture, and that's one of the things that I've really taken with me in my life. I try to memorize scripture. He's just a good example. I want to live up to that, right? So that's for point number one. If that's the line you lie, my dad was a good dad, live up to it. Point number two, my father was not a good man. Your dad could have been a womanizer, or a drug addict, an alcoholic, or harsh or abusive, or maybe he was just unfeeling or disinterested in your life. There's a lot of dads out there like that. There always have been. So what do I do? Number one, if that is your testimony, number one, realize you will have the tendency to be like him if you're not careful. It's modeled. You see it. However dysfunctional that home was, it doesn't seem that dysfunctional when you're there. It's just like what you know. So be very careful. If you've got like a substance abuse problem in your background, be careful. You might tend to have that as an issue in your life. Or if he was disinterested or abusive, or he screamed. Let's say he was a screamer all the time and was angry all the time. Then just realize, okay, that was him. I might have those same tendencies, and check yourself so that you can overcome that. Remember, by the way, boys tend to grow up and take on many of their father's traits. Girls tend to grow up and marry someone like their dad. If they were wonderful, then they'll marry someone wonderful. If they're abusive, we've all seen it. They marry someone like their father who they didn't even like. Those things are etched into, I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know what it is. I'm just saying you get comfortable with whatever that lifestyle is, and no one else makes you comfortable. So you got to step out of that and realize, I want something better than that. I don't want to repeat the sins of my father or mother for that matter. You might be here today and remember all of the times you were hurt. Use it. See the damage that they caused. Determine that you're going to be a better man than that. Remember what it felt like if your father walked out on you and your mom. Determine never to inflict that kind of pain on your family. I had one of my family. You'll notice I said that my father, there were 7 siblings. So I had, at one time, 6 uncles and 6 aunts, right? Is that the math? Yeah, okay. But when I mentioned it, I mentioned only 4 men. There were 2 ladies that were godly, but there was one that one of the sisters married. 5 godly men, but one of the sisters married an ungodly man. And I remember he left his wife 3 beautiful kids, and I remember the story that it happened more than one occasion. He always wanted to be the big man, but he didn't want to be really responsible. And so if he saw his kids on a Friday, he would say, hey, tomorrow we're going to go fishing. I'm going to take you fishing, and you can just see the mother saying, don't promise him, don't say, just show up and take him. No, we're going to have the best time fishing. We're going to get up early. Get up at 5 o'clock, I'm going to come up. And little Jimmy would be out there with his fishing pole 5 in the morning, sitting there and waiting. And he never came. You think that doesn't mess someone up? I promise you it messes a family up. And if that is your experience or something like that, I have to say, Lord, I have to rise above this. I want to be like that. Even though I saw that modeled, Jesus is a better model than that. There's a lot of good men that you know, like right in this room, that are better models than that. Learn from them. Model that. By the way, you are not destined to become your father, good or bad. But if he was bad, that doesn't mean you're automatically, that's too bad, I got no hope. No, because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Then Philippians 4:13, of course, says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, or who strengthens me. So don't say that you're bound by, that your history and your family. You're not. As Christians, we can rise above it. When we're in Christ, we're new people. We had somebody baptized today who was an atheist. I didn't know that. That's a great story. And now he's a child of the King, right? How cool is that? Man, you should go home and grasp that. That's just like, wow. Only God can do that. What if my father was good and bad? Well, again, that describes all of us. There are no perfect fathers, not even close. My philosophy has always been imitate the good, do the opposite of the bad, and make a note of it. As I was growing up, my dad was a really good man, but he didn't do well on diets. And I watched him, and we probably lost him maybe 10 years earlier than we could have had he taken a little more care of his health. And I determined, I had a plan when I was 20 years old, okay? My dad was 6'4", 145 pounds when he got married. Then add 100 pounds to it, and that's how he was at one point in his life. I think he was a little thinner at the end of his life. And I determined, I don't want that. So I remember telling my wife, okay, I'm going to eat everything I want, but once I hit 180, we're done living like that. And it was great, man. I'm eating and eating. Okay, so you're 145, 150, 155, 165. And I don't know when I hit 180, but it was before I was 40, I think. And I said, I am not becoming that part of my dad. And I just changed my diet a little. Not a lot. I didn't have to, and I started exercising. That was it. I don't want that. My dad was a reasonably good manager of money, kind of, sort of. But I saw some gaps, and I said, I don't. And we never had a lot of money, and we're still not, you know, billionaires. I know we look like it, but we're not. But we try to be a little wise. Do you know what I'm saying? Find out that if they've got gaps, figure out what the gaps are and say, okay, we're going to plug that hole. I'm not doing that, or I'm not doing that. But that doesn't mean you throw out all the good parts and don't pay any attention. Pay attention to maybe how they raised their kids, or how he loved his wife, or how he raised you in terms of spending time and went to your stuff. You can find 1,000 things. If they're good and bad like that, find the things that are good and imitate them. Find the things that are bad and don't do that. What if I never knew my father? That's a hard one. God allowed it. Now, there's a difference between God causing it and God allowing it. We're sinful people, right? So if I want to steal $100, God's not going to grab my arm and pull it away, and you can't do that. No, he's going to allow it. He allows sin. If you don't allow sin, you're not allowing choice. And I believe one of the big reasons God created sentient beings, angels and especially humans, is so that we can choose to serve him or not. You see, if you can't choose to not serve him, say it right, it's not a choice. So God has allowed it, but he didn't cause it. If your father ran out on you, you don't know him. God didn't do that. Your father did that. So you blame your father. And then you forgive your father. Forgiveness is hard. I mean, of all of the spiritual exercises that I have to exercise, forgiveness is hard. When you're wronged, I didn't think of this till this morning. I sell on eBay. I got a neutral feedback. I hate anything that's not a positive feedback. And it was unfair. I told my wife, I'm like, you want to do what I want to do now? I'm going to find what he's selling, buy it, ship it back saying, I just don't like it, and leave him a negative feedback. That's humans, right? And then I told her something like, well, I don't think that is consistent with what God would have me to do, though. I don't know. I still want to do it. I'm not going to. I'm pretty sure. But I'll give you his name after this if you want to do it. So, the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Forgiveness is hard. And the first step there is you put down the bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander. You put them down, say, you make the choice, I'm going to drop these from my life. And then you forgive. There's two kinds of forgiveness. I had a guy that cheated me for over $5,000 years ago, and that's bad enough, but he was also a deacon in our church. That wasn't good either. And I had a hard time with that. And then I realized there's two kinds of forgiveness. The one kind is where you say, hey, look, I know you stole $5,000 from me, but come to my house for dinner. Hey, let's go to a Yankees game. That's absurd. You know when you do that? You do that after he repays you the $5,000. And I'm being serious. You can't have an intimate relationship with someone who wrongs you and won't correct it. It's not possible. It's not even something you should do. He's just going to steal from you the next time. But you can say, you know, I'm not going to let this anger, this bitterness, I'm not going to let it crush me. I'm not going to let it dominate my life. I'm not going to wake up in the morning and say, okay, today's the day I change the feedback. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say, Lord, you know what? I'm your child. This was bad. But somehow I know your Heavenly Father, you will still take care of me. And honestly, in most cases, he also takes care of the one who did the misdeed. But don't even wish that on him. Just leave that to God and go on with your life. And by the way, you may be able to do that today, and then tomorrow, it takes time for you to just be able to, like, not care. But you can reach that, but you've got to exercise, I will drop the bitterness. And again, it doesn't mean that you're forced to. If you've got a father who's left you, that's lied to you, that's cheated, or whatever he's done, that doesn't mean that you automatically, oh, Dad, I want to be your bit. No. But it does mean we're going to drop the bitterness and then begin praying for him. And interesting, once you drop all that stuff, the next step is be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving. So kindness, even if someone has wronged you, you can be kind. And then you forgive up to the point where the forgiveness is appropriate, but beyond, you know, relationally appropriate. Does that make sense? Okay. Finally, last point, if you've grown up with a difficult situation with your dad, use the pain. If you've ever had life without a dad, you know of very uniquely how that feels. And there are young men and young women all over the country that know how that feels. They're struggling right now. Be a role model. Be a big brother. Be someone who goes to them and spends time with them that they can look up to dads as a male influence that wants to make their life better, that will trust them, that will attend their basketball games, that will be there, that will correct them when their report card was bad. Even if you're not related to them, build a relationship with people that God leads you to and be that kind of person in their life. Use the pain. Don't just be angry about it. And then never forget that we have a Heavenly Father who will never leave us or forsake us. I read a great article by Matt Havilon, and this will be my conclusion. He's not a pastor or a missionary. He was a chaplain. He's a real estate guy. And he wrote an article that was entitled, Five Lessons Learned from My Dad on Being a Christian Father. And I'm just going to give these to you, then we're going to close in prayer without any comment. And my prayer is that God will make every man in this room this kind of father, this kind of husband. Number one, be a faithful husband. Number two, help others, even when it's uncomfortable. Number three, be spiritually involved in your children's life. Number four, handle difficult situations with love and grace. Number five, keep growing and trusting God. Lord, I ask for all of us dads in here and future dads that you help us to be the man of God in our home, to lead our wives, to lead our children, to love you. May the young men, the children in our homes, look at their dad and say, I want to be like him when I grow up. May the little girls in our homes look at their dad and say, I want to marry someone as good as my dad. We just commit our fathers to you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen.